Psalm 19. If you've been with us through the summer, we have been looking at the book of Psalms, and the series title is Summer in the Psalms. And Psalm 19 addresses this whole idea of God and his greatness. Everyone has a concept of, or a perception of God. An atheist does not believe there is a God. Agnostic, well, a God, but he's not really sure you can know God. Then there's the skeptic. Then there's the one who's engaged in religion and thinks that religion is an end in itself. But here the psalmist David presents to us this magnificent psalm that shouts forth of the greatness of God. How does a limited mind understand an unlimited God who knows everything, who is everywhere? How does a human being who has a beginning and an end have any knowledge of a God who had no beginning and will have no end? How does that which has such limited knowledge about any topic know a God who is majestic and beyond and is the epitome of knowledge and is truth? Well, David touches on this and he addresses this whole idea of the greatness of God. Here are a couple of quotes I thought. I put them in your notes, I think. Craigie says this, Psalm 19 combines the most beautiful poetry with some of the most profound of biblical theology. This is a magnificent psalm that does that. Here's another quote. This is from C.S. Lewis. Some of you may have read some or continue to read C.S. Lewis, a great writer. He said, I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter, or the Book of Psalms, and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. So that's what some of the great theologians of our day have said. I want you to break it down into three sections. The first section is nature. God is revealed in the skies. He says, the heavens declare or proclaim the glory of God. I forget what I put up there. Oh, there you go. The skies. This is fascinating. Do you see that? Did you notice what I've done this week? I've made it so the words move. I just found that out. I was fiddling with my computer. And did you know the words move like that? I thought they just went up there.
No, you can do almost anything on the computer.
You have got. I've got to learn from my grandkids, I guess. Okay, here, look at the second one. The scriptures reveal his greatness. So here you've got the first six verses of Psalm 19. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show his handiwork. And then verses 7 through 11, you have the scriptures. And we'll look at that. And the last section of this, he speaks of the soul. It reveals his grace. So God has revealed himself. We know nothing about God except what he has revealed. There is no way you can know about God unless God reveals himself. And David says, this is how God has revealed himself. He's revealed himself in creation. And he's revealed himself in his word, the scripture. And he's revealed himself in the fact that you can have a relationship with God. Magnificent. Is it any wonder that Craigie and also Lewis says that it is one of the most magnificent of all the Psalms? Well, verses 1 through 6, God's greatness is revealed in nature. Let's read those verses again. We have read them together before, but let me read them again. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. An amazing way of saying that the creation of which God was the initiator, every single solitary day continue to communicate to a world that there is a God. every day. And then when the sun goes down at night, every night, it is as if the whole creation is screaming. This is the magnificent work of God. There is no speech, verse 3, or language where their voice is not heard. There is no place you can go on earth that creation is silent. It continues to go on. Their words, their voice goes out in all the earth, their words to the end of the earth. There is no language. There is no language to creation, but everybody in their own language understands that there is a creator. You cannot, like, I cannot believe. I was sitting on my deck this morning, really early. What time did you get up?
6:22.
I beat you by 22 minutes. 6:22, I had half a cup of coffee down. But I was sitting on my deck, and I just, it hit me that we are, do you rotate or revolve? What do you do when you're going around? You rotate. We are rotating at 26 miles a second. That's how fast this earth is spinning. And I looked at my coffee mug, and there wasn't one little ripple. No, 26 miles a second.
Second.
Count it on your fingers.
Sorry.
I'm bad.
That's an inside joke.
And so the evidence is there. I mean, here you have the creation that is saying, you know what? You cannot. I mean, like, for example, take a watch. Take it all apart and throw it in the washing machine. Fill it with a degree of oil. And then turn the spin cycle and see how long it will take for that watch to put itself together. It is impossible. But any watch you have has to be set at the exact time of how the earth rotates and revolves. I mean, they are able to tell you in 120 years, on this particular date, this is where the sun will set. This is where the sun will rise. The heavens declare, hey, the glory of God is evidenced in the heavens. That's why the scripture says the fool has said in their heart there is no God. It doesn't say the fool believes there is no God, because all the fool can say there is no, I don't believe in a God. You can't believe it, but you can say it. And that's basically the bottom line, the evidence. And again, we've talked about our human body and how it, good night, I'm just fascinated by it. I cannot believe it works as well as it does. All the different parts in all the different locations. Can you imagine if, well, anyway, let's not get into that because I don't have all that much time. The kids have taken up all of my time this morning. Look at verses 7 through 11. Have we done all the points on that one? Let me just see if we have. No. For him, David, creation reveals the Lord's royal majesty and sovereignty. That's what he's presenting to us. The verbs declare and proclaim are participial forms. They are expressive, a continuous revelation of the heavens. It isn't that they made a revelation and that's it. It's they continue to go on, and that's the significance of day unto day. Let me put a couple of verses on here from Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Is substantiating what David has said in Psalm 19. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Look at this last statement. So that men are without excuse. There is no excuse. No one in the final judgment will ever be able to stand before God and say, I did not know you existed. You can't use that. There is no excuse except our own unbelief. All right, verses 7 through 11. Moving along quickly. 7 through 11, he speaks of the greatness of the Word of God. And I am, as I am as fascinated with creation, I am even more fascinated with the Scriptures. I think it is amazing to think that over 40 people who lived at different generations over a period of 1,500 years wrote the Bible. And it was all orchestrated and put together, I believe, sovereignly by God, to the point where there is not one contradiction in the Bible. You cannot find a contradiction. Now, you can prove anything from the Bible if you take something out of its context. A text out of context is a pretext. So you can prove anything you want. But when you put it all together, Scripture interprets Scripture, you will find that there is not one contradiction in the Bible. From the beginning of Genesis through to Revelation, that beautiful red line that goes from God providing for the sinfulness of mankind and right the way through. And look at the difference. Now, watch what I did with this. You'll not believe this. Watch this. Watch this. Look at that. They are the words that you are used to describe the Scripture. Now, look at this next column. Don't you like it? Can you do that? Can you do that on your computer?
No.
No, you see? I'll show you. The law of the Lord is perfect. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. The precepts of the Lord are right. The commands of the Lord are radiant. The fear of the Lord is pure. The ordinances of the Lord are sure. And not only that, they have an effect. And look at the effect. They revive the soul. They make wise the simple. They bring joy to the heart. They give light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, altogether righteous. So you put that whole package together. Magnificent when you see the Word of God and all that it will do. By the way, you do not break the law of God. It breaks you. The law of God states that God is holy, that man is sinful, and that there is no way that man can reach God unless God reaches man. That's the bottom line of the Scriptures. Now, there is so much more that we could say about that. Let me see if I have any other amazing things that will fly on that screen for you. No, let's move on to number three. The skies tell much. The Scripture tells more. But the soul tells the most of all. For it is the only, it is not, God did not create us just to create us. God created us to have a relationship with Him. That's His purpose. God's greatness is revealed in experience. Verses 12 through 14. The whole deal about God is a thing called relationship. That's why we were created. That's why God has so meticulously revealed the truth about the way back to Him in salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we taught the children a couple of weeks ago in BBS, that there is a way to God, and that way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only way to God. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, because Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, was the only one who paid the penalty for our sin, thus appeasing a holy God. You see, God cannot look upon sin or He would cease to be God. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. He took my place on the cross. And as a result of that, I can have an intimate relationship with God. I can call Him my Father. And the reason is that although God has revealed himself in creation, and although he has revealed himself in his word, the scriptures, he has revealed himself in an intimacy with each of us once we take that step of faith and trust him. So here's the question. Here's the question. Are you overwhelmed by the wonder of God? Are you to a point in your life where you say, you know what? I'm just overwhelmed by the fact that God is so great and so awesome and so powerful and so loving. I have a dear appreciation for his word that reveals himself to us. But even more than all of that, I rejoice in the fact that I am able to know him through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That is one of the main purposes for our existence as a church. Because mankind is lost. Every human heart who rejects Jesus Christ has no excuse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, and really his work on the cross, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life comes not through a church connection, not through baptism, not through keeping the golden rule, not by keeping the Ten Commandments. All the Ten Commandments do, all they do is to reveal our sinfulness and our need of a Savior. There is a wonder in all of this. It's amazing. By the way, when you think of wonder, you think of imagination, don't you? Children have great imagination. Great imagination. And I think sometimes as we get older, we lose the wonder. For example, you're married. Have you lost the wonder of a kiss? Like when your husband kisses you, do you sort of melt just... Not the same as at the beginning. We won't talk about why. But if somebody were to ask you, how would you define a kiss? What is a kiss? Well, here's what Mark Buchanan said in his book, Your God is Too Safe. It is possible that we have lost imagination. If you describe a kiss in sheer physical terms, it sounds repulsive. Two people press their moist, creased facial orifices together, cinch tight the sphincter muscles to draw the flesh around the orifice into a bulbulous mound, and exchange saliva and breath. It sounds quite repulsive, doesn't it? Now, it takes imagination. It takes what? That's not how your kisses are now, is it? No. But it takes imagination to be able to enjoy a good kiss with the one you love. And it is the same with what David says in Psalm 19. It's not just a matter of looking at the stars in space at night and saying, look at all those rocks floating around in heaven. It's look at what God has created to reveal himself to us. And the Word of God is not just a textbook. It's not just a Bible. It's the intimate knowledge of who God is and how he deals with people. And the relationship we have with him is not just I prayed a prayer when I was 5 or 7 or 10 or 15. And that's it. It's no. God lives within me by his Spirit because I came to that point of realizing that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation because he has revealed his love to us in sending his Son, Jesus. So don't lose the wonder, will you? Don't lose the wonder. Father, thank you for this magnificent psalm. We thank you for its clarity. We thank you for its splendor. We thank you for the way it closes in verse 14, where David said, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." May that be the experience of everyone in this place. And for those who perhaps have not seen Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, would you speak to their hearts and bring them by your Spirit to a place of humility before you, so that they see that they cannot save themselves, but when they yield to you, you will do this magnificent wonder in their lives. Again, we thank you for this morning. What a great opportunity to be together. Pray that as we go our separate ways, you will go before us. May this week be a wonderful opportunity for us to see your hand work in us and through us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Now listen, if we can be of any spiritual help to you, you want to talk further about this, I'm in on Tuesdays from 9 through till 9. Just give a call to the office. Love to have coffee with you. I take cream in mine. Medium cream, $1.60, that's all it is. It's a great investment. Great investment. Now, don't forget your popcorn out there. Women and children served first. And away we go. Have a great week.